It's the most important day on the WCHL broadcast calendar. The annual Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum on 97.9 FM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. And streaming live on chapelboro.com. It's 10 hours broadcast live from the WCHL studios, featuring more than 60 members of the community here to discuss and debate the local issues. Our forum is brought to you by the Carolina Inn, Harrington Bank, Durham Tech, University Mall, Molly Maid, The Happy Tooth, UPS Stores, Fordham Boulevard, and Metamont, and AutoLogic. Now, forum hour number 8, after Raleigh. Your moderator is Rand Northam.
To hour 8 of the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. The forum all day has offered 10 topics in 10 hours, featuring commentary and discussion among town and university officials and other representatives from our community, all focused on the important issues affecting our county. This hour is discussion entitled After Raleigh, and on this panel we have Jason Baker, Orange Chatham Sierra Club, of the Chapel Hill Carborough City School Board, Annetta Streeter, of the Chapel Hill Mayor Pro Tem Ed Harrison, Penny Gluck, the Executive Dean of Orange County Operations, Durham Technical Community College, Janice Tyler, the Director of the Orange County Department on Aging, and Lauren Hintz of the Chapel Hill High School and Orange Chatham Sierra Club. So I'm going to open this hour of the forum up with a very basic but broad question, and it is, how is our state legislature doing right now? And I know there's many opinions and possibly many different opinions here at this table, but I open it up to you right now to have that answer. So who would like to go first on this one? Ed Harrison, quickly, with his hand up in the air.
Well, I've been voluntarily watching and lobbying the North Carolina General Assembly now for 30 sessions. When I started, I was twice this size and had all my hair. And the last we're halfway through a biennial session. So starting in the 2011 seating of the General Assembly, and I hate to be partisan, but there was a major partisan change, and it has become a lot more difficult for us here to deal with the General Assembly and also our representatives as well, our senators and representatives. And I think one of the issues, and Senator Ellie Kinnaird, I'll quote her, summed it up as, so many nowadays don't want to be informed. And the result is that they are ignoring, in some cases, what they're doing to different constituencies. This is one year that's been described as the war on the cities. I could name 10 bills off the top of my hand that endanger cities, that endanger you as residents of them, in terms of what you can expect your city to be able to do for your public health, safety, and welfare. And any other constituency, I think, at this table could have the same thing to say.
Jason Baker, I open it up to you. What is your answer to that question?
So how is the General Assembly doing? Terribly, I guess, is the depressingly. There's a lot of really negative words come to mind that probably aren't appropriate for the air. I see I'm sitting here with some folks who have a lot of background in the education sector, and for me that's been one of my major concerns. But also, as Ed mentioned, municipal sovereignty has been under attack, the environment has been under attack, and more recently we've all seen the voting rights of North Carolinians have been steeply under attack in ways that we've never seen before, and many of us had feared this in the past few sessions, and I think that, unfortunately, we're going to see some bills come to pass that we're just going to have to find ways to work around and work harder as community organizers to get citizens involved and to make them understand what's happening. I try to remain optimistic, but right now my outlook is pretty grim when I think about the General Assembly.
Annetta Streeter, we talked two panels ago about K-12 education, and a lot of that conversation was about bills that are coming down. One is the cursive bill, mandating cursive in K-12 schools or, in the elementary side of things. There's a lot of talk about online education. There's talk about the digital age and things like that. So do you feel the pressure from the state? Does the school board feel the pressure from the state that the school board cannot go and make the decisions on their own, but there's a lot of pressure coming down that way. Is there any of that as well? Is there a concern in that way?
Well, I guess I'll start with my sentiment, and I would have to say that it does sadden me to see some of the things and hear some of the things that are going on in Raleigh. And a lot of it, unfortunately, has targeted public education. And, you know, in terms of those bigger issues that may impact us, I think the bottom line is that there is work that's being done to try to remove some of that local board control. And this is just one of these, this is one example where the local vote and the state vote are so important. It's so very important that people talk with their feet. We've seen, unfortunately, very little consideration for what makes healthy, educated children, what's important. And I think for us, we're in a very unique situation with Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools in that we've had a very, very good working relationship with our municipalities as well as our county commissioners and then our delegation to the General Assembly. And not all school boards have been as fortunate. So, but what puts us in a different situation at this point is that very few people want to hear about what we consider to be our issues and challenges in this district, because there continues to be this perception that we're doing okay here in Chapel Hill Carrboro, when in fact we are very much impacted by the things that are happening in Raleigh. So we have to be very proactive to continue to educate our delegation, although, as I said, they're very much in support of public education and local control of the school board to work with administration to make those decisions. But we have to let our light shine, and we have to work hard to educate those legislators who are not supportive of public education to better inform them and in hopes that they can make a very informed decision. So
I want to turn the attention to within the walls of Chapel Hill High School to Lauren Hintz to answer that first question, as well as the thought that you have that how important it is to communicate to the school board, who can then communicate to the state school board, who then, you know, continues on through the legislature, and how important that is.
Well, thank you. First, I want to give a shout out to the students at Chapel Hill High School, and good luck studying for their AP exams, their EOC exams, their CTE exams, and their MSL exams.
Wow.
in terms of the issue, I think one thing which is very concerning is just the whole tone of the conversation of the state legislature. It really does seem like they resent the public educational program, that they don't understand what the current career status law is. There's a lot of misconceptions. Editorials in the newspaper or opinion pieces have a lot of inaccurate information. So it's really unfortunate. I mean, I agree. I think we're very fortunate that the local level, we have a lot of proactive and well-educated and advocates for education. To get that to change at the state level, we're only one district. And frankly, we don't have any answers. One thing we can fall back on is federal legislation and the state constitution, which enshrines the concept of education. But can we change the state legislature? No, we can't.
So we will certainly come back to that that point there. I want to turn our attention to Durham Tech and the Orange County campus, and Penny Gluck, and your answer to that initial question. But then also, you know, you're not in the UNC system that gets a lot of the local press. You are, you know, on the community college side of things, and that's a totally different organization. So what are your thoughts with all that is going on with you know, with the legislature and how things are functioning?
The first word that came to mind for me was when I think of the legislation, is just how weary so many people are, not just in the educational sector, but in general. We've been asked for a very long time to do more with less, and I think we've now come to the point that there just is not the ability to do anything more with the limited funds that we have. We certainly are, an answer that Raleigh sends back to us is that we need to do strategic partnering. I would like to see greater partnering from the legislation in terms of big ideas that need to be moved to actual reality. And for me, because I am in the classroom, there is a face that goes with the story that's very sad. The student that comes out to try to get into an anatomy and physiology class so that they can have all of the prereqs for applying to physician assistant program. And there's two sections and they've been closed and there's a waiting list of 150 students. And, you know, your heart bleeds when that particular individual wait another year before they have the ability to potentially get all those prereqs done to move on with their career. So, I mean, there's real faces behind some of the challenges with the limited budget that we receive. So we do best effort to partner with the two school districts and with the UNC system, and wish that the legislation could practice that a little bit more too.
So our last panelist to talk, not in order of importance in the slightest, but Janice Tyler, again, the director of Orange County Department on Aging. This is not just about schools. This is not, you know, just about the everyday life, like we've been talking about as well, and the local government. But aging is a very important thing as well, and what kind of legislature is coming down and what kind of help the state level can give.
Well, I think it's kind of quiet for aging services. We are just trying to hang on to what we have with the Home and Community Care Block Grant. For us, it's the feds that are affecting us here on the local level with the sequestration. So just right before I came over here, we were crunching numbers of how we're going to deal with that. And what that means for us here at the local level is going to be less rides for transportation. It's going to mean less meals being served. But not so much what's going on in Raleigh as what's going on in D.C.
Well, Raleigh can certainly help with that, I'm sure.
And, oh, absolutely.
And that conversation will continue on. Ed, I want to go back to something you said. You said people don't want to be informed. What do you mean by that?
Well, again, that was quoting Senator Kinnaird, but mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say I agree that there are bills being introduced, and the immediate response by groups that I try to help, the North Carolina League of Municipalities, for instance, which is 540 cities and towns, immediate response explaining exactly how this demolishes the ability of a city to protect, say, what citizens see around the town as buildings go up, or what kind of taxes a city or town can continue to collect that they are used to collecting, have been doing so for decades. In some cases, I mean, one notable bill for both local governments and the environment, I'll name it House Bill 612, which is called something like Regulatory Reform Act of 2013, states no local standard can be any stronger than that of the state or federal government. And, you know, we've struggled to put in protections for our citizens in any number of places in ordinance, and it's what they've asked for. And this is, you know, hundreds of municipalities across the state doing this, hundreds of counties, well, 100 counties doing that, excuse me, exactly 100 counties doing that. And a lot of us are really offended that a set of legislators who said that government is best, which is closest to the people, are doing this. I think they said they wanted less government. Well, we're doing what the public asked us for. And if it's in Chapel Hill, it was a long deliberative process. And so it's amazing that people will simply blow that off. It is encouraging. There was one wonderful vote around this time yesterday in terms of progressive economic development, which was that we have wonderful renewable energy standards in North Carolina, and a committee chair watched his own bill get killed in his committee by a whole lot of his colleagues. I hope folks heard about that. It was a wonderful moment. But if you're educating people for the future, if you're trying to get a more energy efficient town, if you're looking for new industry, that's really important for North Carolina, that we saved our renewable energy standards. And that was a case where a whole lot of different entities, I mean, what I call big agriculture came in, small solar, all kinds of groups like that came in and made the case. You talk about creating jobs and economic progress. This is what creates jobs and economic progress looking ahead. And so the information can get through, but it takes a whole lot of work nowadays to do that.
So there's no question that this is a Democratic area of the state. Orange County is certainly that way. The big conversation came when Raleigh was taken over by the Republican Party. That is, certainly at the heart of this. And the bills that have been proposed and some making it through the House and Senate now wouldn't be getting the airplay, I'm sure, that if everybody was happy with it, you know, they would get one little play and gone. So, how do you bridge the gap of Republican and Democrat in the sense that, you know, we are the people, we are the local government, and, you know, what is the answer to that? Lauren, and I, correct me if I heard you wrong here, but you said we can't fix the legislature necessarily.
In the short term, we can. I mean, obviously, there's elections every 2 years, and it makes a big impact. I suspect that a lot of local Republican leaders, especially in town councils, county commissioners, and mayors and like that, I think there'll be a large number of Republicans who really philosophically think that the Republicans in the state legislature are actually working contrary to what they claim to stand for, which is local control. And so I think there'll be a big pushback, especially if these laws get implemented. And in the next cycle, people may lose in primaries, other people may win. So I think it's that's looking the optimistic possibility that a lot of the Republican local leaders really will try to get the state legislature to change.
Janice, you said that really the Department on Aging is just trying to hold on right now and talking about the sequestration, but is there also a lot within your department of trying to get the word out to the members that you help to get out and vote and make your voice heard? Is there a lot of that?
Yes. I mean, we, particularly the Seymour Center was one stop, the early voting.
Right.
And we had lots of people. I think it was the largest site in the county for early voting. So we do try to get the seniors out to vote. And that's not very hard because I think they're like the number one group that does vote automatically. So
sure.
That's not a problem for us. Mm-hmm. It's just keeping everybody informed of exactly what's happening and what's affecting older adults.
Do you hear any feedback of them being concerned of what's currently going on, or, you know, to pull that age group aside from just the general population?
Not really at the senior centers in Orange County. We are very nonpartisan and don't hear much of that conversation.
Sure.
We do have some board members of our advisory board on aging that is very concerned and stay informed of what's happening in Raleigh, but not so much on a daily basis within the senior centers.
You're listening to Hour 8 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Community Forum. In this hour, we are discussing the topic After Raleigh. We're going to take a break. This is WCHL's News Director, Rand Northam. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this. Did you know there's a state-of-the-art community college right here in Orange County? Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, and I invite you to find out why our enrollment is soaring and our class offerings are up 70% since last year. Our campus is green and sustainable with well-equipped classrooms, science labs, computer labs, and a spacious library, all designed to provide a first-class education. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
Hi, this is Don Rice, owner of Molly Maid of Chapel Hill. The thought-provoking conversations taking place today on WCHL represent what this community is all about. The panelists are committed to making our community great, just like we are at Molly Maid. For 16 years, our family has been serving yours. My wife, Kathy, and I are proud to employ almost 50 people, doing our small part to keep our community vibrant and, of course, clean. As we support the WCHL Community Forum, we hope you'll support our locally owned business by visiting us at mollymaid.com.
You wouldn't start a new addition to your home without the right tools. And if you're growing your small business, the right tools are essential to success. At the UPS Store, we have a small business growth toolkit that includes posters, flyers, brochures, a large retractable banner, and more. What's in your small business toolkit? Ask about our small business growth toolkit today at the UPS Stores, your go-to source for your to-do list.
The UPS Store is at Chapel Hill North on Fordham Boulevard next to the Chapel Hill University Inn and in Meadowmont.
You're listening to the 2013 Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum on WCHL and streaming live on chapelboro.com. Now, back to the forum.
Welcome back to Hour 8 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Community Forum. We are here with several important people from our community to discuss After Raleigh. That is the topic. We opened up the conversation with how's the legislature doing? A general but very broad question that can be answered, I'm sure, many different ways, and it was with many different concerns. So now, I want to ask Jason, do you feel that Chapel Hill Carrboro, Orange County, competes with Raleigh and even more so, or not more so, but on the same level with Durham? Is there a competition within this state, within the triangle between the three?
You know, I think for the most part, in terms of thinking about the General Assembly, our interests are the same as Durham's interests, are the same as many of the municipalities around the state who are, battling the same kinds of issues. We want to be able to keep our local control so that our local elected officials get to make the decisions that, our citizens here want them to make. People are elected at the local level, I think, to represent interests that the state level just doesn't have the level of detail to be able to see, and because of that, we're no different than any other municipality in that regard. What may become difficult in the coming months and years with this General Assembly is we have a much smaller pie to try to take a piece out of, and I do fear a little bit. Exactly what you're talking about, an unnecessary animosity between municipalities trying to grab at, what's an ever-shrinking pot of gold to be able to fund what are, truly important programs, not just here in Chapel Hill and Carrboro, but throughout the state. You know, everyone's program is equally, to some degree equally important. So I think that our goal here as municipalities and as counties, as school boards, as any group of citizens working on the local level should be to band together and make the pitch that our common interests are there, and that, hey, we all need this funding.
So UNC, the UNC system, has seen a proposal for a major cut and has gotten a lot of airplay. UNC has football programs and basketball programs and, a lot of, the UNC logo, as we talked about in the sports panel a little while ago, says a lot in and of itself. Durham Tech Orange County has to make its name known as well. How does the Orange County, Durham Tech Orange County, Durham Tech, get its name known and get its word out to the legislature and to the people to show that it's just as important as, these other places?
I think probably our best advocates are our graduates and our alumni. As they go on to careers, further education, we continually have those individuals come back and talk about their experience and how powerful it was with small class size, affordability. I mean, the last thing we want is for students to have tremendous debt when they're out of school. So I think the partnering that we do and the bridge that we provide between high school and the universities or high school and even being job ready is critical. And that's our best voice is individual, you know, the individuals. How collective and loud that is, I don't know. And that's something we need to continue to improve upon.
Word of mouth, certainly. Yeah. In the Chapel Hill Carrboro City School system, how important is it to start the students at a young age to let them know that, you know, the communication from the citizen to the legislature, not just state but local and federal, how important is that? How much is that taught in the school system?
I think that there is a little bit of variability, but one thing that is consistent is that it does, there are opportunities to learn about local government and state government at a very early age, much of which is required as part of the state's curriculum and standards. But there are lots of opportunities across the schools that teachers provide. They do partner with volunteers and organizations to bring that knowledge and those experiences into the schools. I've actually participated myself on several occasions along with other elected officials to spend time in the schools, whether it's reading to a group of students, you know, in celebration or in celebration of a particular holiday or issue. Sometimes it's a part of a school-wide event, and we're invited to come and observe and participate, that sort of thing. So there are lots of opportunities. And from that, conversations begin about, well, what is it that you do and that sort of thing. So I, on a regular basis, have that opportunity. Sometimes it's more formal. And, of course, as the students get older, the information and the knowledge is it goes more in-depth about civic engagement and civic responsibility. So we're doing a good job at that. There's always more room, you know, lots of room for improvement. But our students do learn at an early age that it's very important to be civically involved. So,
Ed, what is the likelihood of Chapel Hill becoming a city? What does it take to become, we're the town of Chapel Hill now. What is the difference between the town of Chapel Hill and the city of Chapel Hill?
Well, and I explain this to people sometimes. It's a choice in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. The largest town is Cary, which is about 140,000. Mm-hmm. The largest city is one of my favorite places in the mountains, which is Saluda, which is not even 1,000 people. We just chose the term town a long time ago. And if you're ever in an open forum in Chapel Hill and you hear the first naming between people, you understand why it's called a town hall meeting and why it's called a town. Mm-hmm. And I use the term interchangeably, but I tend to select town because it's the right one. I moved here from the middle of the city of Durham, where I got a lot of training in how cities work, and then relearned a lot of it here. But it's basically a choice in this state. Town has an entirely different meaning in other states in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. And there are villages in North Carolina too, by the way.
Sure.
But it's mostly cities and towns. But yeah, the largest city is barely 1,000 people. The largest town is 140,000 people. Cary has kept that name. Cary is a big place. Place that went from, I think, one stoplight in 1960 to 110 in 2010 or something like that. You know, grew fast, never changed the name town. Mm-hmm. But that's what it is. But I think we qualify, when you look across the nation, as a small city. We're at almost 60,000 people. And if you took away the students, it'd still be well over 40,000.
So another broad general question for you all. Is the Chapel Hill Carrboro community being heard? Is on the whole, is the Chapel Hill Carrboro community, Orange County, being heard right now? Jason?
You know, I'd like to think that we are. I think that within the state legislature, though, that we carry a certain negative brand with some of the legislators there, which is really unfair, in my opinion, as a, you know, Chapel Hill Carrboro booster. But, you know, I think that our our local legislative delegation does a wonderful job of making our interests heard and making, you know, the case that a lot of what we're doing here really is progressive leadership in the sense that, you know, it's not partisan progressive. It's just moving our community forward in a way that I think a lot of other areas in the state can learn from. You know, a lot of the programs that have been implemented in the Chapel Hill Carrboro area really have been served as leaders to other areas in the state who are learning in new areas of planning, whether it's, you know, government administration, whether it's waste management and recycling. You know, our community has been a real leader in a lot of areas. And I think that despite some, you know, this idea that some people have that we're just so liberal or so progressive or whatever the derogatory in their mind's term is, that in fact what we do is really is leadership for a lot of the state. And I think that more and more municipalities around the state are able to recognize that and convey that to their legislatures as they see, you know, something that was implemented first in the Chapel Hill Carrboro area as a local bill first, going on to eventually become something that the entire state can enjoy.
Lauren, I asked the same question to you. Is the Chapel Hill Carrboro community being heard?
I think right now in terms of legislation and state legislature, it's a quick answer, no. I think what Jason just said, I'm not going to repeat because I think it's spot on. I mean, that's the reality, is that people do take advantage of examples, and communities around the state and the country you know, do appreciate some of the many initiatives that we've done.
Annetta, did I see you? Yep, raising your hand. Please.
You did. Thank you. I alluded a few moments ago about the challenges that we have in terms of getting our voice out, and I would say we're not doing as good a job as we can, but unfortunately there are lots of different factors that impact our ability to do that, and a part of that is this misperception about the around we're doing okay, and we don't have any problems in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. So, unfortunately, it's hard to get past that and really sit down with someone and have a conversation about realistically, you know, what's happening and what are the wonderful things that are happening, but also what are the challenges that we face. I have been across the country. I have been back to my hometown, and the response is interesting. You know, when I tell people where I live, you know, you're kind of reconnecting, you know, with old friends and things like that. And, oh, you live in Chapel Hill, or many of them may not know, well, where is Carrboro? You know, so I spend a chunk of time talking about the wonderful things and, you know, the these two towns being joined at the hip. And but going across the country or going outside of North Carolina and telling people where I live, and the only thing that they hear, oh yeah, Carolina basketball, you know. So again, that begins another interesting conversation. So I would say that again, still some misperceptions out there, or it's a very narrow a thought about what we are and who we are and what we stand for. They hear a lot of the wonderful things about the community. A misperception still persists that everyone is extremely wealthy. But what we do have to do a better job of at is really advocating for those issues that have caused us to have very disparate, a high proportion of low wealth in our community. So what people really don't know when you step out of our community is that there is a huge gap, a huge economic gap amongst our population. Unfortunately, that can impact how services are delivered in our schools and things like that, and misperceptions. So I try to give both the good and bad and really say, you know, we have our challenges just like any other community, and it's really about advocating and making people aware.
Ed, I can only imagine that you have an opinion to this question as well. But first, I'm going to turn to this side of the table to Penny or Janice for either of you. Is this community being heard right now? Is Chapel Hill Carrboro getting its voice to the proper places in Raleigh?
I was just going to say, locally, I think very much different constituencies are heard. Is Raleigh hearing it? Probably not as much. It's maybe viewed more as noise as opposed to a real message that they're interested in hearing.
Is it important enough just for, let's say, the town council to hear it and hope that the town council does its part to help?
Where there's autonomy to make some local decisions.
Sorry, on Orange County's level, too, or the county commissioners.
Right. I would say yes. The limited experience I've had in dealing with the Orange County manager, the commissioners, they are very thoughtful and very interested in hearing about local issues. Does it always, and listening to all sides and trying to make objective choices. On the state level, probably to a less degree, but I don't think the Orange, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough communities are that unique from other municipalities around the state.
Yeah, I certainly didn't mean to leave out Carrboro Alderman or Hillsborough, right. Any of those either. Janice, your thoughts?
Actually, I was in Raleigh last week at the General Assembly. I was over in Raleigh for the North Carolina Association on Aging's annual conference and was able to go over to the General Assembly and sat in where Senator Kennard was in one of the committee meetings. And she just continues to speak up for us. Our delegation is there. You know, they are reaching across the aisle to go to the other side. You know, people tell me that, you know, a year from now, things will kind of settle down in Raleigh and it will be easier to get things through next year. But who knows, you know.
Well, Ed, I do come to you now. First of all, I want to ask, do you believe that? Do you believe that things are going to get easier in a year? But then also, do you feel that the voice is being heard?
Well, one trend that we're seeing this year, if you count the numbers, is all of these bills that have come out that we find problematical for whatever constituency, very few are getting passed in the law. There's a deadline on May 16th, unless it's moved, for a bill to get passed in one chamber to be able to be considered by the next session or by the next chamber, say House or Senate. And so there's going to be some scurrying to get bills passed. But as of Monday, with 1,727 bills introduced, Representative Verlinsko said barely 40 had been ratified, that they really were beginning to hit the skids and realize that maybe some of this stuff was not going to be worth passing. And it's encouraging in a way. It's also encouraging to think, and this is not the first place I've talked about this or heard about it, but Lauren's suggestion that maybe more moderate folks will win primaries and get back in. They'll still be of a party that doesn't represent much of Orange County, but that we hope that can happen. I mean, one of my favorite state senators who represented Cary and Raleigh, Richard Stevens, 3 degrees from UNC Chapel Hill, told me that he had just had it. He was being discouraged from working across the aisle and had pretty much, that was all he wanted to do. He's now a lobbyist for some very good causes, and particularly some that I'm very supportive of, but it was a very strong message for someone who was in the controlling party to say he had just had enough of that.
So safe to say that the high number of bills proposed and then the low number ratified is a kiss of death?
Yeah, it's the low number ratified that's the most striking thing. It's not that striking to have that many bills introduced.
Sure.
Although a number of them are probably unconstitutional. That if you knock those out, it might reduce it by 100 or so. But former Speaker Joe Hackney said to me when I quoted those numbers to him, well, it'd be fine if they stopped right now, wouldn't it? that if we're looking at more bills getting passed, we hope it's ones that really are worth passing there. I mean, there's good stuff in there. But so many of them shouldn't have been introduced in the first place in terms of the public welfare. And when I'm in a group to address the image of Chapel Hill in this area in public, when I'm in a group of local officials, there's a lot of kindness toward Chapel Hill. Some of them because of happy memories of being in school here. When you're with General Assembly members, there really isn't, and I'm not sure why that why that's so different, but I think it's because they really aren't representing their districts as well as they could. I think the local officials would prefer they were friendlier to every town in the state and every county.
You're listening to Hour 8 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Community Forum. This hour's topic is After Raleigh. We're going to take one more break. This is Rand Northam. We'll be right back to discuss, is it as simple as the vote? That's coming up next.
Congratulations to locally owned and operated AutoLogic of Carborough. They recently earned a Green Plus certification. Here's Marianne Jones with more.
What it means to us is that the business practices that Andrew Jones established many, many years ago qualify us for green certification. A business is judged on a variety of categories: people, planet, and performance. And we were judged on our recycling efforts, care of our employees, and our overall performance in the area of sustainability. We're always open to new ideas and new recycling efforts. We're committed to recycling waste oils, lubricants, batteries, antifreeze, scrap metal, and tires. We care about our current environment and that which we leave for our children, our customers' children, and the whole planet.
AutoLogic of Carborough, Green Plus certified and doing good for our cars and our planet. Trust in logic for your imported automobile. Call 919-933-6609. That's 919-933-6609. AutoLogic. Visit AutoLogicOnline.com.
It's not too soon to make plans for enrolling at the Orange County campus at Durham Tech, your hometown college in Hillsborough. Hi, this is Penny Gluck, Executive Dean of Durham Tech's Orange County campus, here to tell you that registration for fall classes starts in July. So act now by getting your or your child's transfer or high school transcript together. Then set up a time to visit our Orange County campus in Hillsborough to sign up for our high-demand classes before they fill up. Find out more at durhamtech.edu and click on the Orange County campus.
Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn. For 88 years, we've been serving our community with the finest hospitality and space for important community gatherings. Through the years, our commitment to serving Chapel Hill has never wavered, which is why we are proud to support the 2013 WCHL Community Forum. When John Sprunt Hill built the Carolina Inn in the 1920s, he and his contemporaries vigorously discussed the issues of the day, and I'm sure he would be proud to know that tradition continues today. The Carolina Inn, part of your community since 1924.
It's the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Forum. You can also hear all our local conversations streaming live on chapelborough.com. And now back with more of the WCHL Forum.
Welcome back to the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carborough Orange County Community Forum. We'll jump right back into the discussion. And before we took that break, I posed the question in a general sense, is it as simple as the vote? So the question is, is our voice strong enough by checking yes or no, or by checking Republican or Democrat, or by checking whatever the question is? So I open that up as a general topic to start things off. Any takers to start? Lauren, yes.
I lived in Central America for 3.5 years, and I think the reality is that votes are necessary and important, but for a change to actually occur, it really requires groups of people to come together and advocate. In some cases, it might just be volunteers doing it and then eventually get legislation to pass it. But voting itself without lobbyists, which at one level is a dirty word, without people communicating on a regular basis, change doesn't happen. And I think it's fundamental for here and throughout the world for people to actually take action.
Jason?
You know, I think the reality of the situation right now is that the ability for a vote to make an impact has been so severely eroded that it could easily take, decades to flip the General Assembly again. Looking at the redistricting that happened just in this past year and the outcome, as we saw in the 2012 elections, makes it pretty clear that the districts in both the General Assembly and in our United States congressional delegations are so skewed that it's going to take, either population shifts or demographic shifts or really convincing some new people to make any meaningful impact in who our representatives are You know, one of the statistics that I hear often quoted, but I think is really meaningful, is if you look at the our congressional makeup, how many votes there were for Congress, U.S. Congress, in either party, that there were in fact more votes for Democrats than for Republicans running for the congressional seats. But you know, what is our congressional delegation now? We've got four Democrats out of the entire statewide delegation, which is a little bit silly. And our rights to vote are getting even further eroded every day in Raleigh. If you look at some of the voter ID legislation that's been going through, it's making it more and more difficult for people who maybe not like you and I have a driver's license in the back pocket and immediately, think it's easy. But for a lot of populations, voter ID legislation is an incredible impediment to being able to vote. They're working to shorten the early voting period, creating another impediment to anybody who actually has to work on election day, which is, a fairly large swath of the population. And even some of the more egregious things we've seen, like the introduced proposal to tax families, if their students end up voting in a local election in the city where they go to college, they're no longer considered a dependent. We've seen absolutely just ridiculous bills coming through the legislature this year that are absolutely eroding our ability to make an impact in the voting box.
So that brings up an interesting thought too. That how do we advocate? How do we advocate for those who can't be heard? And I start with Janice. You said that the older community is not afraid to get out and vote. It's a very strong thing. But for those who literally cannot get out and vote, or don't have that ability, how do we help them and make sure that their voice is heard and that their concerns are heard?
We just have to keep the dialogue going, just keep talking with our legislature and letting them know. The older adults is the fastest growing of our population. And here in Orange County, we've got over 20,000 older adults. And for us, we have an advisory board on aging for those folks to be out there advocating. As I said, I was in Raleigh last week. I'm the vice president of the North Carolina Association on Aging. For us to all work together to get the word out of what older adults needs, and the needs are changing. And just picking up on what Annetta said just a few minutes ago, for us here in Orange County, there is the perception that we have all rich older adults, and that is by no means the case. In fact, I just got new statistics that the change in the poverty level for older adults age 60 plus from year 12-13 to 13-14, there is going to be a 68% increase in poverty in older adults age 60 and over. And we just have to keep talking and advocating for those folks and keeping our programs in place. We really cannot afford to take another cut.
Healthcare is certainly, I'm sure, a major topic of concern as well.
Healthcare, care in your home. Many of the older adults are, we used to say, want to age in place, but we are really advocating for aging in community, because it does take everyone in the community to be involved to help an older adult age in place. So keeping those community-based services available, and that helps reduce the hospital readmissions, and it's just better for everyone.
Flipping to the opposite side, to the youth, obviously the youth have their parents to hopefully make the right choices, but do you feel Annetta, that's ever a population that's overlooked? Is that does having their parents able to say yes or no for them, is that good enough?
That's a tough question. I think in some respects I remain optimistic in this thinking, and my thinking is that our vote is still very important, based on my experience serving on the school board and watching and participating in local government, that it is in that arena, it is local government. To me, that is where the vote is most powerful. Of course, the federal government, passes laws that are somewhat general, you know, to serve the entire nation, and they're around policies and more global views, and of course the disbursement of funds, and as those funds trickle to the state and to the local governments, it is the decisions that the locally affected officials make around how they will use those funds. So that's why I think the vote is so important locally, in terms of parents doing what is best, you know, for their children. I think it's human nature to have a focus that protects, you know, that wants the best for your child, and you want to do what you can to protect your child. And translating that to a vote can be more challenging and a little tricky. For what makes my job important, and the joy that I get from serving on the school board, is that I consider my constituency to be the children. So I have to do my research around what is best for them, and hope, as you said, that their parents will do the right thing in terms of their vote to elect, you know, the local, to elect all of the officials that that can impact public education. But at the end of the day, I try to get the message out to them that we have to think about what is best for the children, because they're not in a position to vote yet. But they can certainly advocate and speak, especially our teenagers, and even down to middle school students. They can actually be a very powerful voice in terms of advocating. And we've seen some recent examples of that. So
we've seen, heard, talked about recent legislation on the higher education level as well, changing really the ease of how an out-of-town, out-of-state student possibly would vote and what that would do. So, to make sure that the youngest age group that can start making their voice heard is heard, I'm sure is a concern on that level as well. Penny.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. And one of the things that comes to mind to reinforce what both Ed and Yanetta said, I mean, Ed used the term informed, and Yanetta just had used the term, I need to do my research. I think young voters, the more they're able to be educated on issues and informed, the more likely they are to make good choices that are for the greater good, and then it's powerful. And I see that evolution, you know, developmentally, students that I see in a first semester and 2-3 years later, the growth that has occurred on so many levels, not just academic, intellectual in the classroom, but their willingness to be community advocates, to do service projects is really impressive. And I think we have to continue to, you know, encourage and foster that kind of grassroots action.
We've got about 2-3 minutes left here now, so I want to go around the table one final time and allow each of you to have, just 30 seconds or so to, say what you feel in this. And you know, we've been talking about being educated in the vote, getting your voice out and making sure that Raleigh hears you, but then also making sure that the local level officials hear you as well, that Ed Harrison either gets voted back into office or not, that sort of thing, that kind of communication and the ongoing educated communication goes on. So Jason, as you're to my left and on that end of the table, I'll start there and we'll go around for this conversation that we hope will continue into the community.
Well, sure. And before I give an answer to that, I did want to say thank you to WCHL for having a conversation about this and allowing us all to have what I think is a very important discussion about the way that what's happening at the state and national level really is tremendously impacting what's going on at the local level. The takeaway for me, and speaking as somebody who's been a community organizer and a political organizer for a large part of my adult life, is that we've got our work cut out for us. We've got to get new people involved. We've got to tell people what's going on, and we've got to not just make the change here at the local level, because, you know, as we've all talked about, we actually have a pretty great General Assembly delegation and a pretty great set of local government officials too, but we need to pass along what's happening here and help other communities understand that what's impacting Chapel Hill and Carrboro and the greater Orange County community is just like what's going to happen to their communities and really stymie their progress if we can't reach out to all corners of the state and get some legislators in place who are going to respect our interests and the interest of local governments all across the state.
Annette Streeter?
I would like to say that we do need to continue to advocate at the local level and the state level to ensure that policies that are put in place around public education and educational services be sound and are about growing children and providing positive, safe experiences for them. I would also like to leave with you two concerns of mine that oftentimes people don't think are connected. And I mentioned earlier that one of the things that people don't know about this area is that there is there's a wide economic gap amongst our community. And its connection to education is very powerful when there is such a disparity between the haves and have-nots in our community. It is a big driver around the educational experiences that our children have. So the state can allocate funding per child, and the county can do the same thing per child. But in addition to how effective our teachers are in instructing in the classroom, the experiences outside of the classroom that families can provide for their children is very limited based on their buying power, based on their income, their household income. So that is a huge impact. So we are living in a time and living in a community where we are losing those affordable housing opportunities. So many families make huge sacrifices to live in the community because they believe that we have great schools, and they enjoy the dynamics of being in a college community and enjoy the wonderful art scenes and the parks and things like that. But with that sacrifice, that means that they have very limited housing resources, and we as elected officials and advocates need to make sure that we are continuing or at least trying to balance and provide those opportunities for everyone to have affordable housing so that they can continue to live in this community and embrace it, and then in turn provide those experiences that really do impact how their kids grow and learn.
And don't mean to cut you short, but we are running out of time. So Ed Harrison, 30 seconds on this topic to wrap it up.
I hope people put an effort into keeping informed about what the General Assembly is doing. I try to spend time every day keeping up to date myself and letting folks know, as particularly Lauren and Jason will know, about what the General Assembly is doing to us or for us. And thanks for having us on the air.
Certainly. Penny Gluck, your thoughts?
How important human capital is on every level, and that the Durham Tech Orange County campus is a piece to that puzzle in providing quality workers, citizens. And again, thanks for having us.
Janice Tyler.
I would say to the public is just take the time to write that letter to the delegation. Let people know what you're advocating for. Don't send the email. Write a real honest-to-goodness letter, because that's what they're saying is being read these days. So, and I would always advocate for older adults and particularly for caregivers. We really need to support those people in our community.
And Lauren Hintz.
I think it's really important for people today, especially children, not to feel discouraged or apathetic or turned off because of poor decisions being made. And I think it's fantastic when teachers and the local community encourage everyone to participate and not to give up.
Thank you to this panel. This has been Hour 8 of the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Forum, talking about After Raleigh today. Bottom Line Part 1 is coming up next. Aaron Keck back behind the mic. Two parts to Bottom Line today. Thank you to this panel and everyone here today. You can visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more on the 2013 WCHL Chapel Hill Carrboro Orange County Community Forum. I'm Rand Northam, back with more after this.